Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. Are you contending or are you pretending? There's a lot of people pretending that this team isn't contending when indeed it is. We're going to talk about the Niners. We got a few other things to get into today, but welcome. It's great to have you back here on Damon Bruce Plus. It is Tuesday, December 2nd. We're rolling into a very chilly December here in Northern California. It's cold outside today. Probably nicer than most of the country, but still, cold for us is cold. It is great to have you here. Thank you so much for stopping on by. And I don't know what you got plans for today. I don't know if you've already planned your lunch today, but you should plan on going to Ike's today. Ooh, let me get this out of the way so you can see his beautiful punim right there. Look at Ike. Look at the delicious sandwiches he's got for you. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. Like, there I am. There I am in sandwich form. You can get that at any Ike's. You want rings, Niners fans? I'll give you three of them right there. Get yourself a Damon Bruce. So many good sandwiches to be ordered at Ike's. Hopefully you live in a delivery area, and hopefully you signed up for that Love Rewards program. Start earning your way towards free chips, drinks, sandwiches, all kinds of good stuff. Our friends at the Dubliner West Portal are always serving them up. Tall, cold, cool, delicious. Get your cocktails at the Dubliner West Portal. Muni picks you up, drops you off right out front. You don't need to worry about parking. Don't need to worry about anything. Say hello to Kenny and John. Great place to watch Sharks games. Great place to watch Warriors games. Great place to watch Warriors call up a G-leaguer as they take on the nearly unbeatable Oklahoma City Thunder this evening at Chase Center. Great place to spend your bye week, football fans. So thank you so much to our friends at the Dubliner. And we always thank our good friends over at Sleeper. And right now at Sleeper, you use the promo code Damon and you sign up, get a $100 match up to $100 over on Sleeper. And I'm telling you, it's got a great interface. I've been having an awful lot of fun, even in weeks where I don't cash that ticket. The user interface is great. I, of course, gamble responsibly. Encourage you to do so as well. Do it over at Sleeper. Outstanding values to be found over at Sleeper. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. So thank you very much for being here. All of our sponsors, all of our subscribers, all of our members. We now have more members than at any other time in channel history. And I thank you deeply for that. For like the cost of a cup of coffee. By the way, here's a sip of the day. You can be a member of Damon Bruce Plus, and I certainly do appreciate that support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's Damon, still talking about doubters as haters. Yeah, I mean, at this point I am, because what you think you know about football, the injuries mean this season is over. I mean, the same people who don't want to be called haters now were the people who were waving the white flag, trade everybody, get out of this season. There's nothing to fight for. There's nothing to contend for. There's no way the 49ers are going to be a team of circumstance at the end of the year. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just go ahead and mail it all in, because this season's already over with. I heard you. I heard people talk like that. I see those comments all the time. You're wrong. Here's the thing. What is contention? Contention, a lot of people think, well, in my mind, we got the best chance to really win a title. That's really not what contention is. You contend for situations, not people's opinions of where you are in your franchise's life cycle. Where this team is in its season's life cycle is contending for a one seed in the NFC. Now, that shouldn't be happening. We all know it's probably a little hook, little crook, little miracle that that is happening. An awful lot of good coaching, an awful lot of just good enough to win this football game in this moment is what we've seen from the 49ers. Do they overwhelm? Do they dominate? Are they number one without a doubt? No. No, they're none of those things. And I'll tell you right now, even if they are the one seed, I don't think, based on who they are, we can confidently say, oh, they're the team to beat. The one seed is definitely the team to beat. The one seed has positioned itself the best, but I don't know if they're going to be the team to beat. And I really don't care. I don't care where the Niners are in this seeding, because I don't think seeding matters in the NFL right now. Do you want a home game? Not even necessarily if you're the 49ers. You're better on the road than you are at home, mostly. they're 100% contenders. Just based on the old saying, you got to be in it to win it. They, with a strong close to this season, will be in it. They're not great. They're not scary. But they're going to wear that moniker of hard to beat no matter who is playing them, no matter where that game is played. And as long as the Niners don't throw up all over themselves, as long as the Niners aren't a bunch of habitual stepping on their own dick steppers, turning the ball over, stupid penalties, undisciplined play, as long as that doesn't happen, they will be in a second half against a team that is probably on paper better than them because they do that all the time. They do that all the time. The 49ers are in games they shouldn't be in all the time. Now, you can also say, well, the Niners are inviting other teams to stay around games where they should be blown out. Well, they're not that good enough to necessarily do that. If all they are is good enough to win the game is in front of them, guess what? That's all you need to do. This isn't a World Series. This isn't an NBA Finals. It's not like the 49ers are going to have to go up against the Rams or the Seahawks in a best out of three, best out of five. Who are you on the one day you're playing? And any team in this league can show up, not be the best version of themselves, and a team that is kind of, in many ways, unimpressive can be impressive in an afternoon. There is no rhyme or reason that connects one team to the way it performed last week to next week. How good can you be preparing for this team this day? And because of Kyle Shanahan, and I know a lot of you don't want to give this guy a single drop of credit, and that includes really the entire gambling world. We'll get there in a second, but there is just a decided element of the 49er fan base that is constantly rooting against the best interest of the 49ers because you think the team will be better when they move on from Purdy and move on from Shanahan, but they're not doing either of those things. This is your coach and your quarterback, and you better damn well get used to it, kids, because nothing is changing. We've been telling you that for 9 years. You're complaining about the same thing. They're not going to be changing this because it's always pretty darn good. I mean, that's the thing. You know, the Niners had a bad year last year. We know why. But as you can see, under similar circumstances with injuries everywhere this year, as long as one of those injuries isn't to Christian McCaffrey, apparently, this team can still go out and win football games week after week after week after week. But what about this defensive line? It doesn't get any pressure. What about this young secondary? What about the injury to Fred Warner? What about the offensive line? What about the wide receivers who can't play dead? What about you have one running back that is the only guy on the team the head coach trusts beyond George Kittle? What about all that? It does not matter. The 49ers are 20-ish first downs, 350-ish yards of offense against anyone all the time, every game, win or lose. And that is a level of consistency that most of these football teams would freaking die for. You know, Ben Johnson, head coach of the Chicago Bears, said something that was very pointed to criticizing what he doesn't like about his own team. And it's true. He said, we're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. You could even say that about the 49ers right now. They're winning in spite of their offense, not because of it. They're winning in spite of their defense, not because of it. But they do keep on winning. And thanks to this schedule, which we said would be a very important part of whatever they turn into this year, things continue to go well on the scheduling front. Now, you know the Niners got a tough wrap-it-up part of their schedule coming, but they got a bye week right here. Then it's the Titans at home, at the Colts, Bears, and Seahawks. Only one more road game, three home games for the Niners. Tough against the Bears and Seahawks for sure, but let's see what those teams look like by the time they get here. A lot can happen in the next 3 weeks. So the Bears are sitting at 9-3. Niners are at 9-4. Bears are at 9-3. But guess what? They haven't run into the always a headache, always a challenge, never look good against them, Green Bay Packers. And they're going to see them twice before they get to the 49ers. The Chicago Bears are at the Packers. They then play the Browns at home. The Browns, who knows what they're looking like 2 weeks from now with a very good defense. Shador figuring it out. Let's see what that game looks like. Don't put it just automatically into the win column. The Bears are good. They ain't that good. At the Packers, the Bears are going to lose that game because they always do. Doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, it does, just does not matter. Don Majkowski, the Bears are going to lose in Green Bay. They always do. If they don't, Ben Johnson might be named mayor of Chicago, but they're probably going to lose in Green Bay. Home to the Browns is never good. Then they're home to the Green Bay Packers again. The Bears could lose to the Packers twice. There's no doubt in my mind. I've watched it happen more often than not in my life than any of you. That could happen. Then they're at the 49ers. Then they play the Lions. I could absolutely see the Bears losing three of their final five games. Absolutely, I could see that happening. Let's talk about the 9-3 Rams. It looks a little less daunting, but you know what the 9-3 Rams have? Three division games remaining. Now, at the Cardinals, feels like easy pickings. Cardinals, but there's something about a division opponent that just makes it less than easy as it's supposed to be. Then they're hosting the Lions. Lions are playing, you know, scratch and claw for every inch of their playoff life football right now. Then the Rams are at the Seahawks, at the Falcons, and then the Cardinals at home again. The Rams schedule doesn't look very daunting, but then if you know what you know about football and just know the division games aren't as equal as other ones, they're a little different. It's not exactly smooth sailing for a Rams team that just saw Matthew Stafford play his worst game of the year. Maybe Matthew Stafford is officially, I have 12 good games left in my body age, and he's already played them. I do not know. But if you think that the Rams are smooth sailing, you haven't been paying attention. There is no smooth sailing. Ask them after they got off the plane in Carolina how smoothly that went. Then you got the 9-3 Seahawks. The 9-3 Seahawks are at the Falcons, home to the Colts and Rams, at the Panthers, and then at the 49ers. Maybe that's the easiest path for any 9-win team that's really out there that doesn't have one fewer game to play like the 49ers do. At Falcons, go Atlanta. Colts, let's see what the Colts are in Seattle. Let's see what the Rams are in Seattle. At Panthers, again, West Coast team flying all the way to the East Coast. That's always a force multiplier if things aren't as easy as they're supposed to be. And then at the 49ers, that game will either mean everything to the playoff picture or very little by then. We will find out together. Don't even know what time that game's going off yet. What's this? Wild the hate towards Damon. Want to be mad at someone trying to. I don't care because the haters are, you're fucking wrong and I'm right. And you're watching my channel and I'm not watching yours. You know what I mean? Like, there is an element of 49er fans that are just patently awful to deal with. And they hide behind the shield of, I just want to win a Super Bowl, but then they have no understanding of how any of this works. Again, if you think Kyle Shanahan is a bad coach, you are disqualified from talking about football smartly. Period. I'm not telling you Brock Purdy is nothing to work on, coach up, perfect on any level. If you think he is a bad quarterback, you have no fucking clue what you're looking at, and what you think of the situation is irrelevant to me. The Niners are in it, whether you like it or not. And there's an element of the Niner fans that don't like it. Again, these are the same fans who will say they're absolutely going to lose in Cleveland. And then when they don't, they say, well, that win doesn't matter much because the Browns suck. I mean, you move the field goals on yourself. And I'm tracking it. I can see it. I can read your comments. But Damon, I won like 9 Super Bowls with the 49ers on Madden. It's not hard. Exactly. Exactly. I think if you tracked reaction to this season, you will find a steady baseline of confidence from this channel directed towards the Niners all season long, in spite of injuries, and everybody is up the mountain, down the mountain. They're really good 1 week, they're really good bad week. I love the Niners, I hate the Niners. If your channel and the person you're watching is up and down on the Niners all the time, all they're reacting to, they don't know what they're talking about other than reacting to what they just saw. This is a really well-run football team. And here's something that you might not want to hear. This was a really well-run football team last year. Sometimes shit just goes wrong. Christian McCaffrey is everything to the 49ers. And with him, they're in every game they're going to play. Without him, now we can talk about how things have gone really wrong. But with him, they're in it. The Niners might have the easiest path, the clearest path to a 1 seed in the NFC, which is going to be really tough on the, I was ready to give up on this year. Everybody sucks. They're going to be in the bottom of their division all season long. Christian McCaffrey's washed. Fire Kyle, fire Brock. Should have never paid him crowd. It's going to be rough on you. At what point will you have to say, I don't know what I'm looking at as I'm looking at it and reacting to it in real time, in thoughtful time? I have no premonition. I have no reaction to what just happened. I'm still trying to insist that what you're looking at is bad. Kyle Shanahan should be a coach of the year candidate. He's nowhere even close. That's how much respect people have for him. Kyle Shanahan is going to have to go undefeated to even be considered a coach of the year because everyone's, well, look at how good that team is, even though you know that the team around them is not nearly the Avenger All-Stars that were in the Super Bowl against Kansas City and Las Vegas a couple years ago. This team is not that team. This team is so banged up and injured, you'd think that this guy would be in a coach of the year conversation. Shanahan, again, here are your betonline.ag coach of the year candidates right now. Mike Vrabel remains a favorite. Why not? Who can argue with how good New England has been, how much they have exceeded their expectations this year? Drake May this morning is the NFL's leading MVP candidate. So look, I mean, Mike Vrabel, coach of the year, sure. That also proves implicitly that the Tennessee Titans have no idea what they're doing. You want to talk about Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson took the, oh, they're not winning anything, Chicago Bears, and has them thinking about a 1 seed in Chicago this morning. You got Ben Johnson taking off his shirt at the Wiener Circle, getting everybody in Chicago a free hot dog today. There, I mean, Ben Johnson could literally run for the mayor of Chicago and win in a landslide right now. Shane Steichen. I mean, the Colts went from no one's talking about the Colts to holy shit, look at the Colts. Shane Steichen is getting consideration. He is at 5-1, having started at 25-1 a couple weeks ago. Brian Schottenheimer is getting consideration with the Cowboys late season turnaround. Sean McVay is descending that coach of the year conversation. Those Matthew Stafford interceptions apparently are Sean McVay's fault, so he's no longer their coach of the year. Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni are now off the board. Kyle Shanahan's not even on the board. Who has done a better coaching job this year based on the hold cards that they were dealt before the river, before the flop, before the turn? Kyle Shanahan basically started this year with a 2-6 offsuit, and here he is at the final table. It's unbelievable what this guy's done. But nobody wants to give him any credit. But it's definitely his fault that the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead, even though he was the offensive coordinator of that team. It's amazing what gets pinned to him and not pinned to him. Only the Niners playing poorly sticks to Shanahan. If they play well, well, there's a level of expectation that was supposed to happen, so he gets no credit at all. I mean, it's kind of nuts. it is kind of nuts. You know, look at what they just did defensively. You know, every single time Mac Jones plays well, it's like, well, why did they give why did they give Brock Purdy all that money? Why did they give Brock Purdy all that money? Look at how good Mac Jones is. Let me ask you right now. Why did they give Nick Bosa all that money? No one ever says that out loud. Their defense right now might not be getting, but they're winning. Like, what if the Niners actually win the Super Bowl this year without Nick Bosa or Fred Warner? Is that money poorly spent now? Will that ever, you know, it feels like the minute some, you know, Brock throws one interception, we're reevaluating his entire contract. 49ers are playing pretty damn well without their two best defensive players, who are two of the highest paid defensive players at their positions. And what's the point? Like, if you can, if defensive ends really don't even matter that much anymore, to be totally honest with you, unless you're Myles Garrett, ball comes out so fast. I mean, Nick Bosa, Sam Aquinu, either way, you're in a one seed contender. Why are you paying all that money for any player? Yeah, Bears do give up a lot of points this season. Nothing's in the barn here, folks. Nothing is in the barn. This is wide open. Wide, 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 wide open. The 49ers will have a puncher's chance against anybody. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them run into a real team that isn't banged up and be beaten soundly. That could happen. But the chances of it happening are fewer and further between than a lot of people ever want to give this team credit for. I mean, when do the 49ers, they lose games? When are they cataclysmically embarrassing? Did you watch the New York Giants play football last night? That is cataclysmically embarrassing on all levels. I mean, just that's what football that is awful looks like. There is a culture that the 49ers have that those in charge get very little credit for. You know, it's not Joe Montana's ghost that is installing the culture of this team. It is Kyle Shanahan. It is John Lynch. It is these players. You know what you never see? Even with some failed draft picks, it's never like, well, the draft pick isn't playing well because he doesn't go to meetings. That's what the Giants are dealing with. You see the story coming out of New York this morning? Giants first round pick Abdul Carter was benched for the first quarter of last night's Monday Night Football game. And during that first quarter, the Patriots scored 17 points as he was benched. Mike Kafka, the interim coach of the Giants, says it was a decision to bench Abdul Carter, who was out for two drives. And he was benched for the second time in 3 weeks for being late. He was late that first meeting, and he said, just look, there was confusion. I was at training table, and you want to give a player benefit of the doubt, I guess, once, twice, though. I even seen, and I don't know what to believe online anymore. I only saw from one person. Is it true? Is it not true that he was watching porn or something in a team meeting? Or I don't even know. I don't care. All I'm going to tell you is that this guy literally said, I'm going to be so good. He's got 1.5 sacks. He recorded his very first sack, solo sack of the season last night when he did get into the game. But this guy said that he was going to be so good, he was asking for Lawrence Taylor's number. There are 11 rookies who have more sacks than Abdul Carter. And this guy is going to last in New York maybe 2-3 years, and they're just going to move on. I mean, you cannot be the guy who isn't showing up to the meeting and getting suspended in a game where you're losing. And you just can't be that guy. There's no culture. Who is the leader of that team? Well, they fired their head coach. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, based on this alone, it ain't going to be Mike Kafka. Mike Kafka does not get the job on this alone. Abdul Carter was told, you got a meeting that started. He couldn't give a fuck. That ain't good. That's dysfunction. This is why that team is 5 and 25 over their last 30 games, and you got Niners fans reacting like they're the team that's 5 and 25 over their last 30 games. It's nuts. I hope you're enjoying the ride. It's been a little bit of a bumpy ride. There has been turbulence. But this is interesting. This is fun. I think this is over expectations. What should have happened to the 49ers and what they prevented happening to them is pretty impressive. I see the chat flying right now. Thank you very much. We always welcome new members. What do we got here? S.A. Ucarda Cat 3891. Again, we got to work on that handle a little, but you are now a member of the Initiated. Thank you so very, very much. What a wonderful way to support what I am doing over here. Thank you. Our man Christopher, the photographer, says, Damon, why aren't you wearing your Celebrini jersey? I don't have a Sharks jersey. I've never owned a Shark jersey. You want to know why? I've never liked teal, to be honest with you. I've never been a teal guy. But if I had to get a Sharks jersey, I'm getting a Macklin Celebrini jersey. We are working on Sharks jerseys for the boys because they're getting into a little Sharks hockey. And we'll tell you why. You should be getting into Sharks hockey too. But before we get there, I want to talk about what is happening in college football today because, oh man, there's an awful lot of hand-wringing and what this playoff formatting is going to look like and the seeding and who's in, who's out, who deserves to be in, who deserves to be out. Freaking love this time of year. You know, should a 3-loss Texas team qualify ahead of other 2-loss teams? Texas has a strong argument. Texas is a strong argument because they've beaten 2 teams that are officially ranked ahead of them, and one of their 3 losses was the season opener in Columbus when they lost to Ohio State. Texas is getting dragged for that opening game. You know, Sark is going on shows saying, well, we're not going to schedule big games anymore. Yeah, you probably shouldn't, and that sucks. You know, will we be denied the big game at the beginning of the year if teams aren't signing up for that? Yeah, but, you know, it's the big game at the end of the year that everyone's shooting at. Texas is a debate point. Like, you can sit down and make arguments for and against Texas that are long. You know, they lose to Florida. That's what's keeping them out. They lost to a 4-8 Florida team if they don't go in. The single most annoying debate that is going on right now is the debate between Miami and Notre Dame. Miami and Notre Dame, a couple of 2-loss teams that are close by a lot of metrics, except for one. Miami beat Notre Dame straight up this year. What are we talking about? Identical records. Nothing matters more than what happened when you two teams played. Like, an argument is, all right, so they should have a game between Miami and Notre Dame, and the winner of that game should be the team that goes to the playoffs. Guess what? That game was played this year. Miami won it. Sorry, Notre Dame. You know, when you are trying to edge out one team and they have a win over you, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Notre Dame hasn't done more this year than Vanderbilt, maybe even BYU. But they were ranked higher in the preseason, and their loss came very early. So, you know, they get to say that's way in the rearview mirror. Well, why doesn't Texas get to do that against the number one team in the land? Let me tell you, while a lot of people are getting mad about who's screwed this up and how you figure it all out, let me tell you what screwed this up. The ACC is what really screwed this up. The ACC should have Miami with a chance to go and win its conference championship game, but because of stupid tiebreakers, they got Duke going to that game. And because of the ACC's stupid, agreed-upon tie-breaking rules, the wrong team is going to the championship game, denying Miami an opportunity to post one more quality win. A lot of what is still wrong is the schedule, is the way that tiebreakers are, you know, different in different conferences. What I do know is that the back of the, let's call it the bracket, right? This is the college football bracket. The back of the bracket debate will always exist. There's no such thing as, well, we let 12 teams in. Well, the 11th and 12th team are going to be argued in for eternity. Well, now we're letting 16 teams in. Well, now the 15th and 16th team will be argued for eternity. Well, no, now we're going to let 24 teams in. Well, now the 24th and 25th or the 23rd and 24th teams are going to be debate. I mean, it never ends. The who got screwed and didn't get to go play in the postseason debate never ends, no matter where the cutoff is. There's been so much movement in college football. Players, coaches, full-on schools picking up, leaving one conference, joining another. If I were put in front in charge of college football, I've said this and I really mean, I would have a 20-year freeze. No more playoff expansion. No more new bowl games that are bullshit. No more conference realignment. Everybody sits still for 20 years to let things settle. How can you ever get a picture of the way things are built if you rebuild it every 14 months? So it's just time for college to realize that there is going to be an element of never satisfied fans at the end of your bracket selection, no matter what you do. You could have 100 college football teams qualify for the postseason. Team number 101 would be kicking and screaming like a baby. It's just, so stop. Stop letting the SEC say, all right, well, you know, our conference is so good, we're going to have nothing but shit early on games. And, you know, other teams need to follow that model now. I don't like the power that the SEC and the Big Ten wield over the entire sport. But they've got a lot of power. They've got all the good teams. And it really is. Like, we almost need to separate the Big Ten and the SEC from the rest of college football. And people do want to do that. But that's why you can't do anything and you got to freeze it all for 20 years. Let's talk about that 20 years from now. Either way, I'm happy that college football is about to happen. I love the playoffs. I think it's great. It's a lot better than just flipping a coin and saying, well, this team was definitely better than that team. Don't you think, BCS? I never liked that. We got a bracket. We're going to have a tournament. Indiana going to be playing a big role in it. Oh, my God. We are going to do a show on the day of the college bracket coming out, and we're going to have some special guests on that show. It's something that I am planning right now, and like and subscribe and hit that notify button too. And that way, whenever I go live, you won't miss a thing. You'll know about it. So if you were going to go to the Warriors game tonight and decide not to, I don't know how much of a thing you're going to be missing, because the Warriors are in a lot of trouble this evening. We got the Thunder at the Warriors at Chase Center tonight. Oklahoma City is 20-1 on the season. They're looking for their 13th straight win against the Warriors tonight. And here's what I do know. The only way the Warriors have a chance to win this game tonight is if everybody plays like Steph Curry. Unfortunately, one of the guys who won't be playing like Steph Curry tonight is Steph Curry. He is not playing tonight. the Warriors are going to get absolutely murdered on the boards. Oklahoma City rebounds like it's their favorite thing to do. So the Warriors are in trouble on the boards. Well, it's a good thing Al Horford's out there. Nope, he's got sciatica. Al Horford's not playing tonight. Trayce Jackson-Davis is day-to-day. The Warriors are going to be small against a team that you don't want to be small against. The Warriors, again, are going to have to play like everyone is Steph Curry without Steph Curry. They're a decent 7-2 at home, but I think they're going to lose tonight, and then they hit the bricks. They're on the road in Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Chicago. Then they come home to Minnesota. Then they're on the road again at Portland, at Phoenix. The unrelenting schedule that ain't their friend does not start becoming their friend until after Christmas. So the Warriors are in suck it up, take your punches mode, and I think they're going to get absolutely bludgeoned by the Oklahoma City Thunder this evening. They are bringing in, though, a two-way player. Oh, my God, the two-way contract has been agreed to. LJ Cryer is coming up from Santa Cruz. What if I told you he was a huge wing that's really going to help? He's not. He is a six-foot-tall guard who just shoots a lot of threes. He shoots a ton of threes. He's averaging 24 points per game in G League. He started at Baylor. Then he transferred to Houston. He was a Big 12 first team all Big 12 last year. He went undrafted. Then he hit the G League. He's a small guard. If he can handle the ball well, great. We'll see. But, you know, that's not going to solve many problems for the Warriors. It really isn't. Maybe you will you will have a little something more to enjoy if you start watching some Sharks hockey. Just throwing it out there. Did you watch last night?
Go Sharks.
Did you watch last night? If you watched last night, you saw that Celebrini Smith Toffoli line absolutely dominate a game. Pair of goals for Will Smith in his second straight game. Three assist game for Celebrini. It's a 6-3 win over Utah. And by the way, it's not the Mammoths. They're the Mammoth. It's like the Stanford Cardinal. Singular. It's the Cardinal, like the tree, not the bird. So it's not Cardinals. It's not the Utah Mammoths. Utah Mammoth. Drop the S.
Go Sharks.
Don't drop that S. 54 of San Jose's past 66 goals have featured a player 23 years or younger. This is a youth movement. This is fun hockey to watch. Caps are at the tank on Wednesday. Then it's a 5-game road trip for the Sharks. So I'm just saying, keep an eye. Keep an eye on the Sharks. If you are not, you're kind of missing the dawn of a very interesting sports story that is happening down in San Jose. Macklin Celebrini is starting his career on a path that only the greatest hockey players of all time have started down. Just throwing that out there. You know, early results guarantee nothing, but you cannot start your career better than what Macklin Celebrini and a young handful of talent around the Sharks has right now. They are good. They are young. They are interesting. Watch. Just check them out. You might dig it. This is excessive saying Brock is back. The D has only given up 17 points in the last two games, and the bye is upon us. The 49ers peaking at the right time. Again, I don't even know if they're peaking. I just think that they've done more than anyone could have expected them to do with all of these injuries, and they are incredibly well-positioned in a season that didn't speak to them being well positioned. I don't think are they peaking at the right time? I don't know. To me, the peaking version of the 49ers is, what do you know? They didn't beat themselves today. They just went out, they did their thing, and their thing was enough to beat the other team. They didn't help the other team beat them. When they turn the ball over too many times, when they suck on special teams, that's when I worry about the 49ers. Otherwise, I really don't. It's the same game every week. Here's a buttload of Christian McCaffrey, a few sprinkles of a few other plays everywhere else. It might be enough to win. Thomas, I'm stranded at O'Hare. Does Pig in a Pickle deliver? No, I'm sorry. I don't think so. Not to O'Hare Airport. I'm sorry you're stranded at O'Hare. That's brutal. Thomas, thank you for watching, though. Hopefully we can get you through it. Special teams actually becoming a weapon for the 49ers. Hand banana, it's getting better. It's getting better. Again, Brant Boyer, he deserves some flowers. Absolutely. Sky Moore is getting better. Kickoff coverage is getting better. Punt coverage is getting better. You know, they're on their third kicker. They're still hitting field goals. That's good. And there you go. The goal of this channel is to never waste a single moment of your time. Your time is way too precious to drag you into nonsense that you didn't even really care about in the first place. So that's what you need to know today, other than today in history. Are you ready to go? And by the way, I know what you meant. I meant Ikes. Ikes, there should be an Ikes at O'Hare. Ikes would do great in Chicago. Ikes would do well in any Midwestern city where there are fat boys. Chicago is one of those towns. All right. Are you ready for a little today in history? Here we go. First of all, our happy birthdays to Lucy Liu. Lucy Liu, 57 years old. I saw a picture of her. She looks great still, Lucy Liu. She was like a bird. She only flies away. Nelly Furtado. It's kind of a one-hit wonder, right? But Nelly Furtado, 47. And still looking good. Nelly looks good. Many hits. I don't know how. I wonder how long Britney Spears is going to be with us. She does not seem to be tethered to much reality. She's 44 years old. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, who was beat up and had a boo boo on his nose, he definitely does not want to keep playing football. He is 42 years old today. And shut it down, Aaron Rodgers. You have very little left to give the NFL. I think you've overextended your stay. The question is, has Mike Tomlin overstayed his welcome in Pittsburgh? There's a lot of debate about that today. Nelly Furtado is not a one-hit wonder. She had bangers with Timbaland. Okay, you know, I mean, one other song. Maybe there. She's good. I mean, hell, I wish we had Nelly Furtado level success here. All right. How about this? Today in 1804 at Notre Dame in Paris, Napoleon crowned himself the Emperor of France. I know a guy in DC who jerks off to thoughts like that, right? Today in 1816, the very first U.S. Savings Bank, Philadelphia Savings Fund Society, opened for business. There you go. Happy birthday, Banks. Today in 1927, the Ford Motor Company unveiled its second mass production model. They went from the Ford Model T to the Ford Model A as its brand new automobile. Now, if you were here yesterday in 1913 was the birth of the Ford assembly line. And 14 years later, they're cranking out another car. That was progress back then, I can tell you. Today in 1954, this was at the height of the Red Scare, and the U.S. Senate condemned Joseph McCarthy for what it called conduct that brought the Senate to disorder and disrepute. Can you imagine if that standard were still being held to sitting U.S. senators? You've embarrassed us all, you dipshit. It's all you get now. It's again, every minute is a Watergate. Every minute is the most disgusting minute in the history of U.S. politics. Fuck all these people. Good God, I hate them all. It's all of them. Good to see the single largest transfer of wealth, though, happen away from everyone who needs it to people who certainly don't. Isn't that great?
Isn't that great?
Today in 1982, big medical advancement, right? The University of Utah Medical Center performed the very first implant of a permanent artificial heart. Barney Clark was the name of the guy who got the first artificial heart. Well, it extended Barney's life by 16 weeks. You know, it wasn't a long run on the artificial heart, but there, you know, somebody had to be first. Barney was first. Barney had to crawl so rest of those with artificial hearts could walk one day. There you go. 16 weeks, though. Like, the doctor who invented that artificial heart had to have been like, 16 weeks, not bad, right? Like, I just made something out of plastic and you lived. I don't know if anything more important today in the world's history happened here, though. Today in 1983, clocking in at 14 minutes long, which for MTV was unheard of. This better be special. It was. Today in 1983, the debut of Thriller on MTV. Oh my God. It was Thriller. Look it up, kids. It was a big, big deal. As was The Naked Gun, released today in 1988. It's the only time I've actually fallen out of a movie theater seat laughing at something. I remember watching The Naked Gun in movie theaters. I fell out of my seat laughing. It was so funny at that time. Oh my God, 88. Today in 1993, Pablo Escobar shot and killed in Colombia. Thanks for the memories, Pablo. He made a lot of 80s parties go longer into the night and early morning than most DJs ever did. Thank you, Pablo. Again, Thomas, I know what you meant. Thanks you for eating at Ike's. Sign up for Sleeper and go to the Dubliner West portal. We've got, ouch, my hamstring. I saw the Gross Matos, Cowing, Sam O, Ayuk might be back after the bye. I don't think Ayuk is going to be playing again. Can they stay healthy? Probably not. They never do. Cowing, I don't believe in him at all. We'll see if he gets out there. They got rookies that they don't even play. I don't know who to believe in. I know not to believe in many of them. I thank you all for watching. And having said that, they could be the one seed. It's really weird. Enjoy the ride. Thank you so much for watching. Please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.